I dreamed I went to heaven, and you were there with me. We walked upon the streets of gold, beside the crystal sea. We heard the angels singing, then someone called your name. You turned and saw this young man, and he was smiling as he came. And he said, "Friend, you may not know me now." And then he said, "But wait, you used to teach my Sunday school when I was only 8. And every week you would say a prayer before the class would start. And one day when you said that prayer, I asked Jesus in my heart. Thank you for giving to the Lord, for I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave." Then another man stood before you and said, "Remember the time a missionary came to your church. His pictures made you cry. You didn't have much money, but you gave it anyway. And Jesus took the gift you gave, and that's why I'm here today. Thank you for giving to the Lord, for I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave." One by one they came, far as the eye could see, and each life somehow touched by your generosity. Little things that you had done, sacrifices made and noticed on the earth, in heaven now proclaimed. And I know up in heaven you're not supposed to cry, but I am almost sure there were tears in your eyes as Jesus took your hand and you stood before the Lord. He said, "My child, look around you, for great is your reward." Thank you for giving to the Lord, for I am a life that was changed.
Amen. Open your Bibles tonight to the Gospel of Luke chapter 9. And it is this morning, not tonight. You never know when you look at a person or hear a person what struggles they may be going, that may be going on inside their heart and inside of their life. Miss Janine, thank you for that wonderful song. And you pray for Miss Janine Jones as she goes through some health struggles at this time, and pray that God will give her victory and heal her and strengthen her. Luke chapter 9. Stand with me out of love and respect for God's word. And by the way, tonight at 6 o'clock in here, missionary Ed Williamson will be here tonight. And we want all of the adult specialty classes to be in here and our teenagers to be in here. And we'd like for you to be a part and hear Brother Ed Williams' presentation. I never will forget, Brother Ed's got such a tender heart for souls and for those that God has called him to minister to. And as he shares his burden and the work that God's allowed him to do, he'll be weeping throughout it, and he always does. And I heard him say one day, God put the price of soul winning at tears. So everybody could afford it. Everybody could pay that price to be a soul winner. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bearing their sheaves with them. Luke chapter 9, verse 57, the Bible says, this is Jesus speaking, and it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go and bid them farewell which are at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. And after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face, into every city and place whether he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore for the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways, behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall return to you again. And in the same house remain eating and drinking such things as they give. For the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. Now let me stop there and say that this has nothing to do with soul winning. I heard a preacher preach on that one time and used it to say that God would not have us to go from house to house soul winning. He's telling these preachers, don't you go from house to house looking for more food, more drink. And into whatsoever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out of the streets of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. We'll leave off reading there, and I want to go back and begin in verse number 57 and point out some things and bring the message that God has given us for today. Father, thank you for the Word of God and for the instruction that you always give to us in your Word. Thank you for the warnings. Thank you, Father, for pointing out those fallacies in our own lives as we read the Scripture. Thank you, Father, that there are those that heard you call and answered to obey. Not like these who made excuses, being indifferent to the will of God for their lives. Now, I need your help this morning. I want to be a blessing to your children. And I'd like to see people without Jesus Christ come to know you today as their Savior. Would you save every unsaved person in this building this morning? Lord, there's some people here who need to make this their church home. Would you help them to come today and join with us? Thank you for every visitor. Lord, we know visiting and seeking your leadership about a church home is an important thing for a Christian. I pray that you'd give them your leadership and your direction that they might know and do the will of God. Now, Lord, speak to our heart about those areas of need in our life that we might just not walk away ignoring our need, but we might kneel at an old-fashioned altar and cry out to God who's able to forgive our sin and heal our sick and lift our burdens. We ask today for you to do your work in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In the verses of Scripture we've read this morning, two things stand out vividly to me. First of all, in Luke chapter 9, verse 57 through 62, Jesus gave invitations to two different people to follow him. He's always looking for people who will follow him. Most of us live our lives the way we want it and hope Jesus will go with us. But if we'll learn to follow him, we can be sure that he'll be with us every day and all the way. Both of these that he invited to follow him made excuses as to why they could not obey him right away. May I say to you that Jesus' invitation is in reality a call. When Jesus says, follow me, he's calling us out to follow him. It's even more than a call. It is a command to follow him. No excuse is acceptable when Jesus says, follow me, follow me. Look at his warnings in verse number 62. Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. These men said, we'll follow you, but first let us. One of them said, let me go bury my father. But in reality, if you'll study this, the man's father wasn't even sick. He wasn't dead. He's saying, if you'll let me stay home until my father gets old and dies, and I bury him, then I'll follow you. The other one said, Lord, I'll follow you, but I've got some people at my house. Let me go bid them farewell and take care of them, and then I'll follow you. Hey, what are you putting in front of Jesus Christ? Jesus said, when you hear my call and say, I'll follow you, you've put your hand to the plow. You've become a part of the workforce of God. You've become a part of the servant, as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And any man putting his hand to the plow and looking back, going back, making excuses, is not fit for the kingdom of God. God's calling is without repentance. You may make excuse, but God does not accept excuses. We're to follow him. We're to obey him. He never asks us to do for him what we cannot do. This last week, a week before last, I was making a visit over in Euless. In fact, to Brother and Mrs. Perry's house. And the streets right off of Arkansas, and it's right past the street, John Street, where Mrs. Smith and I had bought our first new house 45 years ago. And it's while we were living there, God called us to preach. I drove by the house. I looked at it and remembered. And I thought to myself, what a great decision to give that up to follow Jesus Christ. I don't regret for a moment obeying the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I see in the second place in Luke chapter 10 verses 1 through 12, Jesus sent out 70 of his disciples. They were to go to cities and give out the gospel message. And Jesus told these disciples that those who receive you, tell them that the kingdom of God is nigh unto them. What he meant was, tell them that they're very close to getting saved. The kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom we enter into by the new birth. And if they'll receive the witness, God's soul winners, he said, you let them know that they're very near to getting saved. But then he goes on to say, tell these disciples that some of the people will not receive you. They'll reject your message. And they'll reject me, Jesus. He said, then you go out and you wipe the dust. When they reject you, you wipe the dust. They're rejecting me. You wipe their dust off your feet. And you tell them in the day of judgment, in that day, I'll be more tolerable judging Sodom and Gomorrah than I will them. Oh my, what a statement. You see, Sodom and Gomorrah never heard the gospel. If you hear someone present to you the gospel and you reject them and you reject Jesus, you've rejected something Sodom and Gomorrah never had. And Jesus said in the day of judgment, I'll be more tolerable to Sodom and Gomorrah because they never heard the gospel than I will on you that hear the gospel and reject Jesus Christ. You don't know what a blessing it is to have somebody tell you about Jesus. What a blessing it is to have someone led of God to tell you that God came down and died on an old rugged cross that you might be saved. God don't look lightly. He does not look favorably to rejection. It's a terrible thing to reject Jesus after he suffered and bled and died for our sin. You know, people today like then are living only for now. No thought of tomorrow, no thought of eternity. I know this because I see it in dealing with people about their financial decisions. Well, they live for today and don't know how they're going to pay for it tomorrow. They don't think about tomorrow or eternity. I see it in their spiritual decisions. They're living for today with no thought of the will of God or the calling of God or the plan of God for tomorrow. I see it in their decision about marriage, about choosing a husband or a wife. Oh my soul, good kids, good young people grow up and make stupid decisions for a boy or for a girl that'll dump them. How terrible. We're living for the moment. We raise a family and we ignore the training of the boys and the girls for tomorrow because we think they're cute today. No thought of tomorrow, no thought of eternity. You do understand you've got to give an account for all of that. We think and live with only today in mind, and we don't care whose heart we break or how terrible our decisions are. We give no thought of standing before God because we're moved by the flesh and the hormones and the surges in our flesh, not by the will of God. We live and act and make decisions as though we're invincible and we'll never die. We think if we'll ignore God and ignore His call and ignore our sins, we'll ignore God's command long enough that they'll all go away and we'll not have to face God or answer to Him. But that's a foolish thought. You please listen to me this morning. Romans chapter 10, or 14, verse 10, 11, and 12 tells us plainly that every one of us one day will have to face God. And we'll have to give an account of the things we've done in this life. We'll have to give an account of the decisions we made. We'll give an account of how we broke Mom and Daddy's heart. We'll have to give an account to the sin we've chosen to do, ignoring our training and upbringing. We'll have to give an account whether it be good or it be bad. Christians will stand at the judgment seat of Christ. The unsaved will stand at the great white throne judgment. But every one of us must give an account. Now let me get to my message. The text for my message is found in the first five words of verse number 1 of chapter 10. After these things, the Lord. After these things, the Lord. I want to bring quickly to you just five simple thoughts. Number 1, after a life of sin, the Lord. It's the most foolish thing to think that we can live a life as a sinner and never have to face God. After a life of sin, after these things, the Lord. In Luke chapter 16, we're introduced to two men who died. One of those men was extremely rich in worldly goods, but he never had time for God in his life. Perhaps he thought he didn't need God because of his wealth. However, he died. And the Bible says he awoke in hell, in torments, in the flames. The other man was extremely poor. He was a beggar. However, somebody had told him about Jesus and this man had gotten saved. You say, how do you know? The Bible doesn't say he got saved. Because when he died, he went to heaven. He was ushered by the angels into Abraham's bosom, into paradise, into heaven. Nobody goes to heaven without being saved. Somewhere this old beggar had accepted Christ. Both had to face God in eternity after death. One faced God still in his sins, in hell, in judgment. The other faced God with sins forgiven in heaven for all eternity. How will you face God? Heaven or hell? Heaven or hell? After a life of sin, the Lord. Belshazzar was king over Babylon. He thought he was answerable to nobody. Kind of like some that I meet today. We think we can sin and get by with it and we don't have to give an answer to anybody. Kind of like some of these cocky preacher boys and some of these young men that's running around thinking they know more than God and they can live the way they want to. Some of you young ladies, you can live the way you want to, and you don't have to answer to God. This was Belshazzar. But even kings are answerable to God. God reminded him that even kings must face God after a life of sin. God sent down a man's hand, nothing but a man's hand, and the finger. And with that hand, he wrote on the wall. And the writing on the wall said, thou art weighed in the balances and are found wanting. And tonight thy soul shall be required of thee. The Bible says his knees smote once against the other. Because after his life of sin, he had to face God. And so do I. And so do you. You may be here today thinking you're different, but not so. Hebrews 9:27 says, and as it is appointed unto man once to die, after this the judgment. That's God's word. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but God's word shall not pass away. It's eternal, it's forever. I was out witnessing one day and one man said to me, don't tell me that stuff. I've made a bargain with God. He said, I made a bargain with God. He's to leave me alone and I'll leave him alone. The only thing, God makes no such bargains. That's a lopsided bargain. God had nothing to do with it. God has made this bargain with man. He said, without Jesus Christ, you'll die and go to hell. Accept Jesus Christ, my Son, as your Savior, and I'll forgive your sins and give you life everlasting. That's the only bargain God's ever made with man. Romans 14:12 says, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. We must all come to God through Jesus Christ or spend our eternity in hell and in judgment. So let me say this to you. Go ahead if you want to live in sin. Go ahead and ignore God. Pay no heed to the preacher. You don't have to believe the Bible and you don't have to believe God, but after a life of sin, you've got to face God. You've got to give an account. You've got to answer for it. May I say, secondly, after a life of rejecting God's invitation, the Lord. Don't think that you can get up and walk out of church and that's the end of it. It's not the end of it. Don't think you can ignore God and it doesn't matter. Don't think you can hear an invitation to come and yield your life to the Savior and feel the tug of the Holy Spirit in your heart. Hear that still small voice speaking inside. Don't think you can say no to that and that's the end of it. You say, well, I showed that preacher. I said no. You're not rejecting me. I'm just a man. I'm a voice. I'm an instrument. My message is from God. And I'm here to tell you, after a life of rejecting God's invitation, you've got to face God. You've got to give an account for it. You can't ignore it. And I want you to know you are a privileged person if you've heard somebody present to you the gospel message, the good news that Jesus died for your sins and arose again for your justification. You're a blessed person if you've heard somebody tell you that God has complete and free and eternal salvation available for you if you'll accept Him. To reject that is to commit a crime so horrible that God said in that day of judgment, I'll show more mercy on the homosexuals of Sodom and Gomorrah than I will on you. They didn't hear. You did. After a life of rejecting God's invitation, the Lord. You see, the old rugged cross is a banner of God's love and free salvation for sinners. But it's also a staff of judgment to all who reject the Lord Jesus. Do you think that God would allow His Son to go through with that and suffer the penalty of our sin on the cross and you ignore Him and reject Him and get by with it in eternity? No, 10,000 times no. There is forgiveness through Jesus Christ, but rejection sets you up for the judgment of God and the wrath of God, and after a life of rejecting God's invitation, you've got to face God. You can't run far enough. You can't dig a hole deep enough. You can't pile rocks high enough to hide you from the face of God. Thirdly, after a life of indifference to God and His will, and after a lifetime of excuses, you've got to face God. We have needs in our church, needs for workers, always do. We have needs for bus drivers. We have needs for Sunday school workers. We have needs for bus workers. And I cannot believe that we have a need without having someone in our church that's not doing anything that could fill that need. Someone to whom God's already spoken to about. Some of you have already come to me and said, preacher, after I do this and this and this, then. Kind of like these two guys we read about this morning. God's call is not a call to delay, it's a call to obey. After a lifetime of indifference and excuses. And the thing that grieves me, and I'm going to be honest with you, I've watched some of you sit in the pew and grow indifferent to the things of God. You've lost your tears. You've lost your compassion. You've lost your burden. Your mind's now on other things, things of the world. What's next? What's next? May I simply say, after a life of indifference and making excuses, then we've got to face God and explain why. Fourthly, immediately after death, the Lord. Immediately after death, the Lord. Hebrews 9:27 says, "And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment." Appointment means that there's a time on God's calendar that you will leave this life and face God in eternity. This last Saturday, I had three appointments Saturday morning. Two of them were a joy. The other appointment was sad and heartbreaking. By the way, will your appointment with God at death be a time of joy and gain? Or will it be a time of sorrow and shame? You can't change that appointment. You can't avoid it. You can't run fast enough to get away from it. You can't do God like some of you do me when you make an appointment and just not show up. However, you can prepare for that appointment. You can get saved. And may you make sure you're right with God and living in the will of God. One thing I'm 100% sure is, immediately after death, we must face God. We have lived and made choices. We've got to give an account of them to God. Now is preparation time for meeting God. You must not wait until it's time to die. There may not be opportunity to get saved or to get right when that appointment hour comes. By the way, that appointment hour is usually not an hour, it's a moment. You're here 1 minute, gone the next. Too many Christians will face God with a wasted life, but be sure of this, immediately after death, the Lord. The Lord. And may I say, it's not after the funeral, before they ever pick up your body to take it to the funeral home, you'll already be ready to be facing God with the life you've lived and the life I've lived. One more thing and I'm through. After a life of faithful service, the Lord. I know serving God's not always easy. But I'm here to tell you, serving God's always right. When you see Jesus, you'll be glad 10,000 times that you lived your life in faithful service to the Lord. You'll be glad you heard His call and obeyed His call. You'll be glad you heard His invitation to be saved and you obeyed that invitation. You'll be glad you didn't say no. You didn't rebel. You didn't turn your back. You didn't walk out. After a life of faithful service, we get to face Jesus. We get to tell Him we love Him. We get to show Him by the life we've lived. You'll face the Lord like Paul being faithful or like Demas being a quitter, forsaking the will of God because of your love for this present evil world. Paul said, "I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course." He could say, what he was saying was, "I'm ready to face God." For after a life of faithful service to the Lord, he said, "There's crowns of joy and rejoicing waiting for me when I get there." And then there was old Demas. Demas will have to face God, having started out serving the Savior, but quitting. Because he loved this present evil world. Which of these two people best represent your life as a Christian? Paul or Demas? Faithful or quitter? I don't know about you. I want to hear him say, "Well done. I promise you, preacher. I promise you, teacher. I promise you, bus worker. I promise you, Christian servant. It will be worth every hour, every prayer, every hurt, every tear, every burden, every heartache we go through when we see Jesus. After a life of faithful service, we get to face the same. We get to see Him. The Christian life, which begins with the grace of God and the miracle of the new birth, should end with the Savior's reward and well done. You've been saved? Are you faithful? Are you serving? Or have you quit? Have you grown cold and indifferent? Have you made excuses? After it's all over, we've got to face Him. We stand before Him. We give an account unto Him. If you're not a Christian, your great need is to be born again. You need to be saved. Have you been saved? If you have, are you living your life in the will of God? Be sure of this. After it's all over, every one of us must face God. After these things, the Lord. Father in heaven, just a simple message, a message to warn and a message to encourage, a message to plead and appeal, and a message I hope that you'll use to touch hearts and change lives. There are people here today in this service that's unsaved. They need to be born again. There's others here that need to get right, need to get back.